Garza. Univerza preveč demokratična. Ponovno vas popeljem v Indijo, tokrat v eno najsvetejših mest dežele, Varanasi. Poleg vseh sakralnih čudes tega mesta je za tiste, ki se po vseh procesih spiritualne evaporacije radi vračajo v trdno agregatno stanje razuma, v mestu tudi eden največjih azijskih univerzitetnih kampusov, Varanasi Hindu University, poznan pod kratico BHU. Poleg navdihujoče študiozne atmosfere, kampus na obiskovalca učinkuje kot nekakšna zelena oaza med vsem kaosom Indije, ki se ga kot popotnik s težavo nekako navadiš. Gostota drevja in zelene trate, predvsem pa odsotnost smeti, hrupa, prometnega cirkusa, prosjačev, potepuških psov in drugih elementov, ki navadno sestavljajo kuliso te dežele, daje občutek, kot da nisi več v isti državi. Ustvarjeni kontrast zamejenega prostora jasno kaže, da je v zraku prisotna drugačna politika vladajočega. Svojo sterilnost jo nekako zaudarja po zahodu. Moč in oblast institucije sta simbolno uprizorjeni v veličastnih stavbnih kompleksih posameznih fakultet, zgrajenih v enotnem arhitekturnem stilu. Prelepo, da bi bilo res? Rektor univerze, dr. Lalji Singh, mi je namenil kar uro svojega časa za pogovor s postriženim sokom in prigrizki.
This is the largest residential university in Asia, established in 1915. This is the first university established by an Indian, for Indians, with Indian contribution. There are older universities, but they were built by British for their own purpose. And Pandit Madan Mohan Malviya ji, who conceptualized this, his vision was that education will be complete only one who establishes a residential university, and complete education starting from nursery, class 1, primary, secondary, and then to highest level education in the same campus. That was his idea. And residential because he wanted that the teachers are not teachers only in the class, but outside class as well. So he wanted that we not only produce the best doctors, scientists, technologists, engineers, thinkers, philosophers, but also develop their full character so that when they come out of the university, they should have learned how to respect their parents, how to respect others, how to respect their teachers, how to love their country. At the same time, they should be having the capability to compete internationally.
Vse zasluge povezane z ustanovitvijo so pripisane Madanu Mohanu Malaviyaju, ki je bil po nazivu pandit, torej hinduistični duhovnik. Čeprav se BHU smatrajo kot sekularna institucija, ki je, kot pravi Singh, odprta za vso raznolikost indijske družbe, je jasno izražena preferenca hinduistični tradiciji, kar namiguje že njeno ime. V samem jedru te je neizogibno in od etičnih kodeksov neločljiva hinduistična religija, kar je na kampusu simbolično zamarkirano z veličastnim templjem Šri Višvanat. Singh sicer ustraja, da so pripadniki vseh verstev enako dobrodošli. A senzibilnemu očesu je jasno, da to vrstni simbolni privilegiji začrtajo nadaljni ton odnosa dominantne kulture do manjšinskih skupin. Ko se pod vprašajem enake možnosti, je v kontekstu hinduizma seveda treba upoštevati tudi kontinuiteto praks kastne hierarhizacije družbe. Singh ob tem poda nekakšno kvazi znanstveno obrazložitev te preteklosti s poskusom teorije biološkega determinizma.
Tribes of such who live naked in the forest, whatever they gather, they eat, their language is different, culture is different. But that's what you call it, tribes. So this kind of ethnic groups in India, about 4,600 such groups are there. And several thousand years ago, maybe about 10,000 years ago, when agriculture was developed, society was formed, this caste system got into it. So those people who lived in society formulated certain rules, depending upon the capability of the person. Like those who were very good, very intelligent people, they were called as Brahmins. And those who were well-built, protect, they were called as Kshatriyas. Some were given the job of washing clothes and all that. Like that, the whole establishment was self-supporting and the distribution was given based on the division of labor. But that got established in that group because they started marrying within that group. We call it scientifically endogamy. Because of this several thousands of isolation of each of these groups, their DNA is evolving with a different rate. So we are different people. And the scheduled caste were those who were asked to do some menial jobs like cleaning aspects and all those. Lower caste, the scheduled caste. Those who live still in the forest, they have no land, nothing. Now government is giving the right for them to the land where they live. So those are tribal people, scheduled tribes. Government has given reservation to bring them in the mainstream, give opportunity to education. So even if they don't have that high marks, about 10% less marks if they get, so they are admitted. And those seats, they are not allowed for any other caste to get.
O tem govori tudi Om Prasad, predstavnik komunistične študentske stranke All Indian Student Association, poznane pod kratico AISA, ki se označuje za skupnost radikalnih borcev za študentske pravice v Indiji.
Unfortunately, what happens in many of our education system, educational institution, that Hindu values basically get translated into Brahminical values. Because, as I said, historically, education has always been the privilege of the Brahmins in our country. So in the name of perpetuating the value system, the Hindu value system, what happens many times that you're actually perpetuating this system of the Guru. For example, I don't know if you know the story, that in India there's a very famous story about the Guru Sishya Parampara. In the Mahabharata, it's a story from the Mahabharata. Mahabharata, basically, the Pandavas and Kauravas are fighting each other, two sets of brothers. And the Pandavas have a guru called Dronacharya, who teaches them weaponry and teaches them fight and to study the religious scriptures and so on. Now, Dronacharya has a very favorite son, a very favorite pupil called Arjun, who is the best archer there. There's another tribal boy, Adivasi boy, who sees them practicing and learns to shoot the arrow, use the bow and arrow. And one day, this incident happens and the brothers see that this tribal boy can shoot better than us. But Dronacharya feels that, and Dronacharya recognizes that that boy shoots better than Arjun, but he doesn't want anyone else to surpass Arjun. So he asks the tribal boy to cut off his finger, so he cannot use the bow and arrow. This idea of that for the betterment of the of society, of a betterment of a particular people, the Adivasi has to give his thumb. I mean, it is a metaphor which is still echoes in many of our institutions today, and that is why you see that Dalit students committing suicides in many, in IITs, in medical colleges, because the kind of discrimination they face in many educational institutions, the kind of stigma they face, they're not able to cope up with that. Psychologically, they become disturbed and commit suicides.
Pozitivna diskriminacija pa odpade pri vprašanju dostopnosti višješolskega izobraževanja v kontekstu zgodovinske kontinuitete spolne diferenciacije. Sicer se delež študentk na univerzi letno povečuje, a vprašanje ostaja, koliko jih ima dejansko možnosti nadaljnega kariernega razvoja ali akademskega profiliranja. Pri vprašanju števila zaposlenih žensk na univerzi je rektor skoraj šepetaje odgovoril, da je delež manjši od 10%. V Indiji se pri vprašanju žensk navadno nekako zatakne pri njihovi varnosti, včasih upravičeno, drugič bolj kot izgovor. Študentske domove imenujejo hostli, ki so namenjeni vsem študentom, ki niso iz lokalnega okolja. Pri tem ženskam namenjeni hostli bolj spominjajo na nekakšne azilne domove. Več o tem nam pove študentka francoščine, ki živi v enem izmed domov.
So they have safety concerns about women. So I live in hostel, so there are many restrictions there that I don't like to be imposed on me. There is a late timing. I have to be there. I cannot go without telling them anywhere. If I have to go home, I have to give them a letter prior to going there. So these are the restrictions, and I think it is for the safety purpose, because this world is known as men-dominated, you know. See, there is a central library, which is a huge library. It has a collection of many textbooks, scriptures, and old textbook as well. But the problem is, my classes are from 10 to 6. So I have to sit there, and I cannot go out to research for that. And my age is my timing to get in the hostel. So I feel that a little bit gap is there that I can explore more if I didn't have any restriction on entering the hostel.
Pri spoznavanju tovrstnih težav študentov in študentk me je zanimala stopnjo demokratičnosti te institucije, oziroma kakšna je stopnja vključenosti posameznikov in interesnih skupin v soodločanje v zadevah univerze. Rektorja sem povprašala po tej demokratičnosti in aktivističnem delovanju študentov.
It's too much democratic. Too much democratic. Students, they can sit on the road, block everything. I don't have very cold drinking water. I need a cooler. The other day, they were sitting on the road. Absolute democracy. It does happen that as in the society, there are always miscreants. Teachers also, students also. Some of them don't want to get into prominence, highlights. So they will do the things which is against the norms. Only then they are highlighted in newspapers and all that. See, it does happen, so there are very strict rules. Vice Chancellor has the right to expel any students with evidence that he is breaking the peace and without any reason. Like we had a very long strike, a 16-day strike, all the doctors were on the strike. But the purpose was not right, I did not realize. Hospital work was paralyzed to a certain extent. But later on, they will do their strike. And I suspended some teachers. Some students, inquiries going on, but democratic way to prove that they were at fault.
Izjave zaudarjajo po cenenem PR-ju. Verjetno, ker so se mi kot zahodnjakinji vedno želeli predstaviti kot napredni oziroma enakovredni, zgolj s pritrjevanjem, da je vzpostavljeni sistem zelo demokratičen in da je univerza v vseh pogledih čudovita. O kontradiktornosti idej jasno govori nasladna izjava študentke filozofije, ko sem jo poprašala o tem, kaj za njo pomeni demokracija.
When people administrate the society, we can call democratic.
Is it democratic in this kind of way? Do the students get the chance to speak?
Everything is good here. Nothing, I think.
Have you heard about this protest that happened like a month or two ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
About fee recommendation. Then, fees are, problem is solved.
So they didn't increase?
No, didn't increase.
But I hear that there were some students.
Balance.
Some students and teachers got expelled.
Yeah.
Do you think this is democratic?
No, but some economic policies have university. Then they increase the fees. But this is the load on a student. Then a student protest here. Then problem solved.
You were on the protest?
No, I'm not.
No.
Because I'm girl.
O kakršnem koli študentskem predstavništvu na univerzi ni ne duha, ne sluha. Izkazalo se je, da je kakršnokoli študentsko gibanje oziroma politično združevanje na univerzi že več let strogo prepovedano. Legalno in legitimno to na univerzi opravičujejo z incidentom iz 90-ih let, ko so na enem izmed protestov člani študentske iniciative uporabili tudi orožje. Prasad iz AISAE o tem pove.
If you look from the student's perspective, the most democratic institution is that a university is supposed to have is the student union. That is the elected democratic representative body of the students. But we see systematically student union elections are being banned in across universities. Students' participation in decision making of the university are being reduced, are being nullified. And whatever democratic spaces are there for students to express themselves, ultimately, the university is a place where ideas are created, ideas are contested, ideas are disseminated. Now, that very idea, in fact, the very idea and purpose of the university is under attack. The university being a place where you have an adventure with ideas, that itself is under attack. So what is actually behind is an undeclared emergency across campuses. the World Bank, which today gives funds to so many countries, third world countries, it has explicitly stated in a policy statement that one of the major roadblocks to fee hikes in third world countries are student unions. So once you remove the student unions, the path to privatization is much easier.
Na internetu je vendarle mogoče izbrskati nekaj informacij o nedavnih protestih, torej o nekakšnem underground aktivističnem udejstvovanju nekaterih študentov Fakultete za inženirstvo in tehnologijo. Po informacijah iz sekundarnih virov in njihovih objav na Facebooku so z gladovno stavko protestirali proti uvedbi pravila obvezne prisotnosti na predavanjih, ki naj bi bilo aplicirano za nazaj za pretekle semestre, kar je seveda povsem absurdno. Poleg tega so študentje izpostavili nesmiselnost udeležbe na nekaterih predavanjih kot zapravljanje časa zaradi izredno slabe pedagoške aktivnosti predavateljev. Ko sem aktivistične študentke locirala na internetu in jih prosila za pogovor, se za sodelovanje z mediji niso odločile. Kasneje se je izkazalo, da kakršnokoli delovanje, ki sumi na aktivistično združevanje, univerza tretira zelo resno, saj so med drugim prišle nadzorniške službe zasliševati tudi mene in moje sogovornike med opravljanjem intervjuja na območju kampusa. Ugibam torej, da bi bila moja prošnja zavrnjena zaradi strahu. Kljub temu, da je BHU javna univerza ob upisu in semestrsko zaračuna nekaj šolnine. Sicer vsi sogovorniki menijo, da je ta minimalna in naj tako ne bi ovirala dostopnosti študija. Ob tem se še vedno sprašujem, koliko tistih otrok, ki živijo v barakah ali na cesti, ima realno možnost za študij. Ker je univerz, sploh javnik, zelo malo v primerjavi s številom prebivalcem, so upisna mesta zelo omejena in konkurenca med potencialnimi študenti, študentkami je zelo velika. Kriterij za vstop naj bi bila izkazana odličnost na sprejemnih izpitih, kar torej zahteva visoko kvaliteto predhodnega izobraževanja, o pogojenosti katerega sem že poročala. Govorice pa pravijo, da naj bi bila ta preverjanja celo zgolj kot šov, saj naj bi bila upisna mesta prodana pod mizo. Prasad iz ISAE je ob tem v splošnem poudaril skrb nad zgolj naraščajočim problemom dostopnosti in suverenosti visokošolskega izobraževanja z vidika privatizacije javnih institucij.
One of the most important problems that higher education faces in India today is that the state is completely retreating from its responsibility of providing quality and affordable higher education in India. That is why we see that the budgetary expenditure on higher education is less than 1% of the GDP. India, being a poor country where majority of the students are not being able to access higher education system, in that case the state, the intervention of state becomes very important. But what we see is that the intervention of the state is actually retreating from its responsibility. Universities are being asked to finance themselves, and the way they finance themselves is by increasing the burden of the expenditure onto the students. Yes, privatization, yes. Laboratories, science laboratories across universities are being turned into research and development departments for big pharmaceutical companies, big drug cartels and big petrochemical corporations and things like that. You are calling in for funding. You're reducing public funding, and obviously a science department lab needs to survive. So the corporates are very interested in tapping the talent that is existing in universities. And for them, it's a very easy way to go and fund the laboratories and use the talent there. Though it is a public university and research should be oriented to society.
Univerzitetna zgodba Indije je torej globalizacijska. Laboratoriji kreacije znanja in valilnice novih čudovitih umov se sistematično uničujejo oziroma zlorabljajo za dobičkonosne namene. Ob tem visoko šolstvo postaja zgolj eno izmed orodij povečevanja družbeno-ekonomskih razlik med revnimi in bogatimi. Preganjali so me za radio študent iz Indije Maruša G.
snimate. Meni zadošča, da bi padla kakšna opeka študentu na glavo, pa bi, ne glede na to, da sem dekan ali ne, bil hud in žalosten. Zdaj me je predvsem strah. Tako jutro se vprašam, ali se ni po noči zgodilo kaj takega, kar strahom pričakujem. To lahko imenujete kakorkoli hočete, toda zdaj to občutim tako. Nobenega drugega interesa zaenkrat ne vidim.